You are listening to Radio Maria Canada, a Catholic voice wherever you are.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Father's Quilt. I'm your host, Christina Doyle. Thanks again for joining us this afternoon as we are embarking on a study of Mary Undoer of Knots, a really beautiful Marian devotion that was entrusted by Pope Francis. And it's a beautiful prayer. And maybe if I have time at the end of the closing of this broadcast, I might be able to share it with you. If not, I will definitely be sharing it with you at some point or other. Anyways, brothers and sisters, let's begin with one Hail Mary, and let's think of a petition that we have that we want to bring to our Blessed Mother. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Well, we talked about the painting. And as I said before, it was, you know, challenging to describe a painting that you are not seeing in front of you. But when this broadcast is then put into the archives, I know that our wonderful program manager, Alex Diaz, will have it up for you so you can see it. So the Mary Undoer of Knots painting revealed Mary's exalted place in heaven, her intimate role in the life of every Christian, and how she comes to our aid when we pray. So this is to give us confidence in her intercession for our most difficult problems. You know, the heavenly host that surrounds Mary all turn to look at her in the painting. Yet, where is Mary looking in this painting? Her head is tilted downward at the knotted ribbon. This is her concern. Her concern is of our worries. Mary reigns as queen in heavenly bliss, yet her magnificent state does not prevent her from working diligently in the minute details of your life and mine. Her eyes are closed in prayer as she works, while she crushes the head of the serpent under her feet, right? The Mary Undoer of Knots painting, as I had said before, is a liturgical art, and it does serve as a window into heaven. The painting reveals to us what is actually happening when we pray to her, what is taking place when we entrust Mary with our knots. She unravels them so that we can draw closer to her Son, Jesus Christ. So Pope Francis, who brought the painting to the world, also said this: all of us have knots in our hearts, failings, and all of us go through difficult times, he said. Our good Lord, who bestows grace on all his children, wants us to have faith in her. He wants us to entrust the knots of our woes to her, the knots of our miseries that prevent us from reaching God, so that she can untie them and bring them closer to her Son, Jesus. This is the meaning of the icon. So now the faithful are now seeking Our Lady's intercession under this title in great numbers, largely due to Pope Francis' effort to spread the devotion. So in his native Buenos Aires, a reproduction of the Mary Undoer of Knots painting actually hangs in the parish of St. Joseph in the suburb of Agronomia. On the eighth day of every month, thousands of pilgrims flocked to the parish to bring their petitions before Mary and Doer of Knots. And on December 8th, the solemnity of the Immaculate Conception, the number rises to the tens of thousands. Mary's title of Undoer of Knots is a call to all of us, my friends, to call us to bring our problems to her in faith, no matter how tangled they may be. And you may think, oh, like I'm beyond help, or I'm in desperate situation. Do not lose faith or don't lose hope. Mary untied the worst knot in human history, Eve's fall from grace. She can untie all the others. In an era where faith has collapsed, when we've lost our way to God, when we've forgotten what it means to have a healthy soul, to have strong relationships and virtuous societies, we have recourse to our Heavenly Queen to restore the right order. You know, Pope Pius XII, he's often been referred to as the Fatima Pope, he also agreed and said that trusting in Mary's heavenly intercession through the dark times, he said that that was the way for hope. That was the way to solve our problems. So, you know, brothers and sisters, he also mentioned that the frightful calamities that we see before our eyes, and you think about it and you think, oh my gosh, he's talking about way back when, and we can just talk about that even today, can't we? That there's so much corruption. But Mary Undoer of Knots is a devotion free to us. It's free from entanglement in the moral and spiritual confusion of our modern world. If Fatima was a call to repentance, Mary Undoer of Knots is a means by which we can rid ourselves of the knots that separate us from God. Mary is both the prophet and the remedy. She is our model of faith, right? So Pope Francis connected Mary Undoer of Knots to the Fatima message on the 96th anniversary of the Miracle of the Sun on October 12th and 13th, 2013. And on this occasion, the original statue from Our Lady of Fatima was brought to Rome from the shrine of Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal to celebrate a Marian day at the conclusion of the Year of Faith. And during this important event, in the life of the church, the Holy Father made an entrustment of the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary before a crowd of 150,000 pilgrims. And it was at this moment that Pope Francis chose to speak at length the spiritual meaning of the Undoer of Knots devotion. And in doing so, he offered Our Lady as the model of faith for all Christians. He said, "It is a fact. Mary always brings us to Jesus. She is a woman of faith, a true believer. But we can ask, what was Mary's faith like? The first aspect of her faith is this: Mary's faith unties the knot of sin. And what does that mean? The fathers of the Second Vatican Council took up a phrase of Saint Irenaeus, who states that the knot of Eve's disobedience was untied by the obedience of Mary. The knot of disobedience, the knot of unbelief. When children disobey their parents, we can say that a little knot is created. And this happens if the child acts with an awareness of what he or she is doing, especially if there is a lie involved. At that moment, they break trust with their parents. And you know how frequently this happens. Then the relationship with their parents needs to be purified of this fault. The child has to ask for forgiveness so that harmony and trust can be restored. And something of the same sort happens in our relationship with God. When we don't listen to Him, when we don't follow His will, we do concrete things that demonstrate our lack of trust in Him. And for that is what sin is, my friends, and a kind of knot is created deep within us. And these knots, they take away our peace, they take away our serenity, and they're dangerous. And since many knots can form a tangle which gets more and more painful and difficult to undo. But guess what? We know one thing. Nothing is impossible for God's mercy. Even the most tangled knots are loosened by his grace. And Mary, whose yes opened the door for God to undo the knot of the ancient disobedience, is the mother who patiently and lovingly brings us to God so that he can untangle the knots of our soul by his fatherly mercy. We all have some knots, and we can ask in our heart of hearts, what are the knots in my life? Father, my knots cannot be undone. It is a mistake to say anything of the sort, so don't doubt. All the knots of our heart, every single one of them, every knot of our conscience can be undone. Do I ask Mary to, think about this, do I ask Mary to help me trust in God's mercy, to undo these knots, to change? She, as a woman of faith, will surely tell you, get up, go to the Lord, he understands you. And she leads us by the hand as a mother, our mother, to the embrace of our Father, the Father of mercies. A second aspect is that Mary's faith gave human flesh to Jesus. As the Council says, through her faith and obedience, she gave birth on earth to the very Son of the Father, without knowing man, but by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. And this was a point on which the fathers of the Church greatly insisted. Mary first conceived Jesus in faith, and then in the flesh, when she said yes to the message God gave her through the angel. And what does this mean? Well, it means that God did not want to become man by bypassing our freedom. He wanted to pass through Mary's free assent. Through her yes, he asked her, are you prepared to do this? And she replied, yes. But what took place most singularly in the Virgin Mary also takes place within us, spiritually. When we receive the word of God with a good and sincere heart and put it into practice, well, it's as if God takes flesh within us. He comes to dwell in us, for he dwells in all who love him and keep his word. It's not easy to understand this, but really, it is easy to feel it in our heart. And that, my dear brothers and sisters, I wish I could take credit for that, but no, that was spoken by Pope Francis. You know, Mary is the new Eve, a connection that was first made by Saint Irenaeus in the 2nd century and expanded upon by Pope Francis in the 21st century. And now we're going to look more closely Mary's connection to Eve to better grasp the role of the Mother of God in restoring all things in Christ. How did Mary untie Eve's knot? Well, let's think about that. So Mary always continues to point to Jesus and always leads us to him. We can be assured that her loving hand will take us to her Son. This is why under Mary's many titles, we find strength from God to bear any witness to bear any weariness and suffering we must endure in our lives. Okay. This whole message resonates from the image of Mary and doer of knots. We see that in her loving hands, that there is no knot that she can't untie. And so my prayer for you, brothers and sisters, that we turn to Mary under her many titles and know with our heart of hearts that she is leading us to her Son. Our Lady and doer of knots, pray for us. So, you know, the Blessed Mother has asked us to pray the rosary every day, and I would also encourage you to do the same, brothers and sisters. And so I am going to interject with the prayer to Mary, undoer of knots, and I think that would be absolutely lovely at this time. You may bow your heads and for this blessing. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Virgin Mary, Mother of fair love, Mother who never refuses to come to the aid of a child in need, Mother whose hands never cease to serve your beloved children, because they are moved by the divine love and immense mercy that exists in your heart. Cast your compassionate eyes upon me and see the snarl of knot that exists in my life. You know very well how desperate I am, my pain, and how I am bound by these knots. Mary, Mother to whom God entrusted the undoing of the knot in the lives of his children, I entrust into your hands the ribbon of my life. No one, not even the evil one himself, can take it away from your precious care. In your hands there is no knot that cannot be undone. Powerful Mother, by your grace and intercessory power, with your Son and my liberator Jesus, take into your hands today this knot, and you can mention your request at this time. I beg you to undo it for the glory of God once for all. You are my hope, O my Lady. You are the only consolation God gives me, the fortification of my feeble strength, the enrichment of my destitution and with Christ, the freedom from my chains. Hear my plea. Keep me, guide me, protect me, O safe refuge. Mary, undoer of knots, pray for me. And so now let's continue, brothers and sisters, with our Blessed Virgin Mary's role in our spiritual life. You know, we cannot appreciate what Mary has done for humanity unless we realize humanity's condition prior to her birth. And in order to understand why the Church's fathers made the profound theological connection between our first mother, Eve, and Mary, the mother of Christ, we have to look more closely at Eve's fall from grace, and the darkness that humanity plunged into as a result. We can then see, are you ready? We can then see our own failures in Eve's failure and our hope for redemption in Mary's act of faith. So when God placed Eve in the Garden of Eden, she was the crown of his creation. Eve was a magnificent, impeccable creature. All the powers of her immortal body and soul were subjected to the control of her flawless intellect. There was perfect harmony within her soul, her relationship with Adam, and her place in creation. Eden was paradise, right? Eve was created to be the mother of all mankind. She was to be the life giver to all the children of men, thereby raising up a family that would be called the children of God. All human children ever to be born would come through her. Eve also had a perfect relationship with her Creator. Sacred Scripture teaches us that faith in God comes through hearing the Word of God. So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the Word of Christ. Eve communed with God in the garden, and as a result, she possessed this wonderful faith. However, this would not last. Eve allowed the word of the serpent, heard in her ear, to supplant the word of God in her soul. In that moment, she doubted God's word and instead believed the lie of Satan. She rejected God. And it was fatal for both her body and her soul. And as a result, she lost her faith. She lost her supernatural life. When Eve fell from her state of grace, she lost her supernatural life, not only for herself, but for all her children. Instead of being a life giver, she became a transmitter of death, both physically and spiritually. Instead of passing on a perfectly ordered soul to her posterity, Eve passed on her broken soul. All of her children would be born into a condition of separation from God. She took down all of creation in her single sinful act and forfeited heaven, not just for herself, but for all of humanity. Adam also sinned and fell with her, damaging their marital relationship. Their children were doomed to inherit the curse that they brought into the world. Paradise was lost. Harmony with creation was lost. The door to heaven was shut. The devastation that Eve brought into creation cannot be underestimated. How could this possibly be fixed? Once heaven was lost, how could it be regained? Would all the immortal children of men now be doomed to eternity in hell? Only God could save mankind from this condition. God, in his omniscience, was not taken by surprise with Satan's treachery or by Adam and Eve's failure. He announced the means of salvation in the very place where the transgression was made. The fall of the original creation would be restored in a new creation, and the offense would be undone in the same manner that it was committed. If Christ takes the place of Adam in God's recreation and becomes the new Adam, as described by St. Paul, the apostle, then Mary must have been intended by God to take the place of Eve. This is how the early church understood the role of Mary in salvation history. We are going to turn to two significant passages from the second century, which establish the church's understanding of Mary as the new Eve. One from St. Justin Martyr, one of the church's first apologists, and the other from St. Irenaeus of Lyons, an important father of the church. Both saints were staunch defenders of orthodoxy against the heretical enemies of the heretical enemies of the church. So the earliest reference where Mary is compared and contrasted with Eve comes to us from the second century. Christ became man by the Virgin in order that disobedience which proceeded from the serpent might receive its destruction in the same manner in which it derived its origin. For Eve, who was a virgin and undefiled, having conceived the word of the serpent, brought forth disobedience and death. But the Virgin Mary received faith and joy when the angel Gabriel announced the good tidings to her, that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon her, and the power of the highest would overshadow her. Wherefore also the holy thing begotten of her is the Son of God. And she replied, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And by her has he been born, to whom we have proved so many scriptures refer, and by whom God destroys both the serpent and those angels and men who are like him, but works deliverance from death to those who repent of their wickedness and believe upon him. And that, my dear brothers and sisters, was from St. Justin the Martyr. And I'm just checking my time here just to see. Oh, okay, we're all getting close to the end, but hey, we're going to hang in there till we can. And St. Irenaeus further developed the connection between Mary and Eve. He explained how Eve's disobedience was redeemed by God in a perfect inversion of the order of events that led her to her demise, a process that he termed recapitulation. Recapitulation. Okay, sorry, everyone, I'm doing my best. And one of the foundational documents that supports the theology of Mary as the new Eve, Irenaeus used the analogy of untying a knot to explain what Mary did for humanity. And therefore, this also serves as the theological foundation for Mary, the undoer of knots, devotion. So I'm not going to go into all of it, but St. Irenaeus describes point by point Mary's essential role in assisting with Christ's redemption of mankind. And so here it is. He says, "In accordance with this design, Mary the Virgin is found obedient. Behold," he's saying, "behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it to me, unto me according to thy word." But Eve was disobedient, for she did not obey when as yet she was a virgin. And even as she, having indeed a husband, Adam, but being nevertheless as yet a virgin, having become disobedient, was made the cause of death to both to herself and to the entire human race. So also did Mary, having a man betrothed to her and being nevertheless a virgin, by yielding obedience, become the cause of salvation, both to herself and the whole human race, because what is joined together could not otherwise be put asunder than by inversion of the process by which these bonds of union, bonds of union had arisen, so that the former ties be cancelled by the latter, that the latter may set the former again at liberty. The second tie takes the position of the first, which has been cancelled. For this reason did the Lord declare that the first should in truth be last, and the last first. And thus it was the knot of Eve's disobedience was loosed by the obedience of Mary. For what the Virgin Eve had bound fast through unbelief, this the Virgin Mary set free through faith. Okay? So, brothers and sisters, you know, Eve faced a dilemma when Satan presented her with the forbidden fruit, telling her that contrary to God's word, she would not die if she ate it. And Eve believed Satan's word against the word of God, and she ate the fruit. She disobeyed God and thereby took on the pride of Satan, and like him, fell to her ruin. At the Annunciation, Mary also faced a dilemma. The angel presented Mary with the fruit of the womb, a child, an apparent impossibility considering her vow of chastity. Yet Mary does not doubt God's word. She believes. Not only does she believe, she also submits to God's will for her life in a perfect act of faith. And I'm just checking time because my dear program manager would not want me to be over my limit. So not only does she believe, but she submits to God's will for her life, right? So brothers and sisters, in this holy exchange, the Annunciation became the reversal of Eden, where the role of Eve was concerned. Whereas Eve exalted herself in pride to be like God, just as Satan did, in knowing good and evil, Mary humbled herself, recognizing that she was a lowly servant ready to cooperate with the will of her Creator. Eve was the mother of all the living, but instead of giving us life, she gave us death. Mary is the replay. Through Mary's act of faith, divine life was conceived in her. She then takes Eve's place as the mother and transmits that same divine life to her children. So the moment where Mary's faith and obedience untied the knot of Eve's unbelief and disobedience was the Annunciation. Just as Christ did what Adam should have done in laying down his life to save his beloved from the enemy, so Mary does what Eve should have done in obeying God and humbly submitting herself to his will. Eve conceived the word of the devil, while Mary conceived the word of God. And that, my dear friends, I will leave as is. Thank you so much for being with me, and I hope you are enjoying this little mini-series on Mary, the Undoer of Knots. God bless you all. Thanks for joining me today. Bye for now.
I've got no regrets. I wouldn't change a single day. If I had my way, I wouldn't change a single